Good morning, everyone. Shalom Aleichem. The dinim of tefillin appear in the middle of menaches and the dinim of tzitzis also in Perek HaTchelis. What's it doing in menaches? Because there's a Mishnah menaches on Daf Chav Ches Amir Aleph that speaks about the menorah. Shiva kenei hamnorah ma'akvim zeh. And then it says the two parshas in the mezuzah ma'akvim zeh and the dalad parshas in the tefillin ma'akvim zeh. But because it was mentioned, derech agav, so the Gemara writes all the dinim of tefillin and mezuzah here. And then it has a machlokes hatanoim in this Mishnah Chav Ches Amir Aleph, whether the tzitzis in the four corners of the talis are marked from zeh. Let's say you only have tzitzis in one, two, or three corners, that you have a partial kiyam mitzvah, or do you have zero? So that's a machlokes hatanoim. So instead of having all the hilchos tzitzis here, the Mishnah has it. The next parak is hatchelos. It discusses whether tchelos makheves is alavan and so on. So one of the dinim that the Gemara discusses here is Lamedalan on the base, just a few lines. What is the Seder of the Parshas? We know that there were four Parshas where the mitzvah of Tefillin appears. So the Tanoim say in the Brises, the two Brises, Tanoim say in the Brises that the Parshas have to be placed in a certain order. So the Gemara is a very strange way of presenting it. When I face you, so my right is your left, and my left is your right. So one Brisa talks me min hakore, from the perspective of the one who's facing me, and one talks about from the perspective of the one who was wearing the tefillin. So what should this say to HaParshias be? So the way Rashi and the Rabbinatam read the Gemara, you start with Kadesh, Vayoki Viacho, not from the perspective of the one who's wearing the tefillin, but rather from the perspective of the one who's the koire, the one who's looking at me, the one who's looking at me. So from his right side, in other words, you start from my left side, you have Kadesh Vayoki Viacha. And then you have Shema Bahayoyim Shamaya. So that's the machlokes, Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam, how to read the Gemara. So Rashi reads the Gemara simply. That's tefillin de Rashi. You have the tefillin begin in the Sharosh, there are four compartments. So you first have, from your right side, you're facing me. I'm wearing the tefillin. So from your right side, which is my left side, you have in the first compartment in the Sharosh Kadesh. Second one, you have Ayah, Ki V'yachu, Shema V'hayoyim Shamaya at the end. And the Rabbi Natam reads the Gemara differently. You start Kadesh Ayah Ki V'yachu, then from the left side of you, you have Shema V'hayoyim Shamaya. So the two V'hayos are in the middle. That's what he quotes from the Rav Haigoin. You have Havayis Ahadadi, the two Bahayos are one next to the other. We usually use the expression Havaya to represent the Shem Yudke Vavke. We're not permitted to pronounce Shem Hashem Yudke Vavke correctly outside of the Beis HaMikdosh, the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur used to pronounce the Shem Yudke Vavke. They called him every day when they were Duchen in the Beis HaMikdosh. V'chol mokam sherasker shmiyo v'elecha v'erachticho. So the Gemara says, where I give you permission, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, in the location where I give you permission to pronounce the Shem Hamfarish, that's in the Beis HaMikdash, of Elecha Verachticha, that's the Mokam HaBrocha. So every day the Kohanim who were Duchen, every day those who knew the Shem Hamfarish would pronounce it properly. If a Kohen is eating a piece of flesh in the Beis HaMikdash, and he says, Shehakal Nei B'dvarai, so he doesn't say the Shem Al-Pipashtis, he doesn't say the Shem Al-Farush and the Shehakel, or he's eating a mincha and he's going to say Hamoitzi HaMazonis, he doesn't say Shem Al-Farush and Hamoitzi HaMazonis, that's not a Beis HaMikdash Dika Din. That's a Din. He happens to be eating it, he can only eat the Kachi Kachim in the Azara. But the Brichas HaNenin is not a Din that's connected to the Beis HaMikdash. But the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, the Seder Avodah is only in the Beis HaMikdash, and the Duchening, Ika Duchening is in the Beis HaMikdash at the conclusion of Hakrovas Karbonas Tzibur. That's where Rabbi Yankee Femden writes in his Sefer on the tour in the Beis Yosef Arachayim, that's called Morik Tzia. Mishnah Berurah quotes it every so often, Morik Tzia. He writes that the Duchening outside of the Beis HaMikdash, or Duchening with Manazah, that there is no Beis HaMikdash, is only with the Rabbanim. Duchening Menatar, the Gemara has all the dinim of Duchening and Saita. What's it doing in Saita? Because the Mishnah in Saita has a perek, Elin Amar Belashna Kodesh, Elin Amar Mechalosh. Whenever there's a mitzvah reciting something, you have to recite it in the original Hebrew, if there is an original Hebrew. If you're saying Kriyashma, or let's say Birchas HaMazon was composed by the Chachamim, the text was composed by the Chachamim. So can you fulfill a mitzvah of Kriya Shema or Duchening or Parsha Soita when you speak to the Soita and she takes a Shvua? Do you have to recite the Parsha Soita Kichsava the way it says in the Chumash in Hebrew, or can you say it in translation also? So the Mishnah lists off which mitzvahs of recital have to be fulfilled in the original Hebrew and which can be fulfilled in translation. So it says that duchening has to be in the original Hebrew. So the Gemara has all the dinim of duchening, most of the dinim. You never have all the dinim in one place. Most of the dinim of duchening are there. Like Maseches Gittin, you would think all the dinim of Hilchas Gittin are in Maseches Gittin. Not so. There's a certain detail in Hilchas Gittin that only appears in Maseches Yuma in the first parak. You would think that Maseches Shabbos is so big, it has 24 prokem. All the dinim of Hilchas Shabbos would be found in Maseches Shabbos. Not so. There are some details in Hilchas Shabbos that only appear in Sanhedrin, on Daf Pe Gimel. Tosfos and Shabbos was kind enough to quote the Gemara in Sanhedrin. But if you just learn the Gemara in Maseches Shabbos with the 24 prokem, you won't know all the dinim of Hilchas Shabbos. That's Mimerchak Tovi Lachman. That's the Talmud Bavli. It's like that. It's written in such a way. Anyway, so this is why all the dinim of Tfilin and mezuzah and tzitzis, most of the dinim appear in this mesichtim. So again, so this is the expression that the Rabbi Natam has from the Rav Haigoin. Rabbi Natam's tefillin starting me min hakori. I'm wearing the tefillin, you're facing me. So from your right side, which is my left side, the first compartment has kadesh vayokidiyacha, and then instead of going like Rashi, shma vayoyim shamaya, from my left to my right, in other words, from your right to your left, you say Kadesh v'yokidiyacha, Shema v'hayoyim Shema, so the two v'hayoyim is in the middle. So usually the word Havaya is a way of saying Shem Yudke Vavke without pronouncing it, because it's not proper to pronounce Shem Yudke Vavke Chutz L'Beis HaMikdash. Here, Havaya just, Pashu Pshat Havaya just means the two parshas that begin with the word Havaya. Where did he get this expression from? Havaya Sahadodi? That expression appears in the Gemara in Ksubis. The Gemara talks about different ways of getting married. You can get married either, a Kiddushin can be done either Kesef or Shtar or Bia. So in Kiddushin Kesef and Kiddushin Shtar, you know, you can make a Tanai. I remember Kodeshously on the Tanai, some ridiculous Tanai that it rains tomorrow. Run the ridiculous Tanai that you give me $100,000, your father gives me $100,000 within the first 7 days after the chuppah. Either he likes her or he doesn't like her. Was he marrying her on the Tanai that he wants to marry her or not? But that's the thing, you can make any crazy Tanai that he wants. So the Gemara raises the question, can you make a Tanai in Kiddushin Bia? Because Kiddushin Bia is Eina B'Shlichas, and we have a rule, Milsa de Leisa B'Shlichas, Leisa B'Tanai. Any issue that you can't appoint the Shliach, you're not a Balabas to appoint the Shliach, so you're not a Balabas to make a Tanai either. So by Kiddushin Bia, we should have said that you cannot be Matala Tanai. So the Gemara says, no, Iskish Havaya is Hahadodi. All the three forms of Havaya, by means getting married. So all the three forms of getting married have the same din. So since Kiddusha Kesef and Kiddusha Shtar do lend themselves to make Kiddusha Nala Tanai, so even Kiddusha Bia, which you can't do Aide Shliach, can still be made ala Tanai. Yeah. Why does the word Havaya mean getting married? Because the Pasuk by a get, that's Makish Havaya Leitzia. Pasuk says, when a man divorces his wife, Kosovo Lo Sefer Krisis, so Yotzim Ibeisim is talking about getting divorced. Is talking about remarrying. So the Sahavaya means marrying and nashim. If a man has two wives, and so on. So Kisiyena means if he's married. So Makish Havayali at Siya, the Gemara has that famous din. How do you know that there's such a thing as Kiddushei Shtar? Because a get is only Ayyadei Shtar. It's the only way to get divorced is Ayyadei Shtar. So Makash Havayalitziya, getting married, can be done in the same way that one gets divorced. Just like getting divorced can be done Ayyadei Shtar, so getting married can be done Ayyadei Shtar. So the Gemara has that expression, Havai means getting married, and Iskish Havai is Lahadad, it means that three different forms of getting married are compared to each other, hukosh to each other, just like Kiddushei Kesef and Kiddushei Shtar can be done Ayidei Tanai, so we too, even Kiddushei Bia can be Ayidei Tanai. So Rav Haigoin is borrowing that expression From the Gemara in Ksubis, Havayis HaHadoy, not Iskish, just Havayis HaHadoy, the two parshas that begin the word Vahayo, Vahayo Ki V'yach, Vahayo Im Shemaya, should be both in the middle. That's the Poshep Shan. Yeah, the Mordechai, so there are two different versions of what is the correct Seder of the Tefillin. Is it like the Rashi? Kadosh Vahayo Ki V'yach, Shema Vahayo Im Shemaya. That's how most of the Rishonim hold. The Rambam writes in the Tshuva, if it's authentic, and the collection Per Ador. We're never too sure about the Chuvas HaRamam. You have to check into it. So he writes that originally he used to wear Tefillin the Rabbeinu Tam. And then he found out that that's not correct. So he switched over to Tefillin the Rashi. So they were always a long time back. There were two different forms. Rabbeinu Tam's Tefillin is like the Rav Haigan. Yeah. So the Mordechai quotes that they once found in the Kever Yecheskel HaNavi an old pair of Tefillin. And it was like Tefillin Derashi, so they wanted to bring this as a proof that that was a practice in earlier generations that they did. They wore Tefillin like Rashi. So it's interesting that the Mordechai quotes this as a proof to support Shitas Rashi, that Tefillin Derashi, that's how the common practice, everybody wears Tefillin Derashi, that he's prepared to quote, the Rishonim are prepared to bring archaeological evidence to show which is the correct Shita and Halacha. Rav Soloveitchik's family, the Soloveitchik family, both those in Eretz Yisrael and those in America, they all claim in the name of their great-grandfather, the name of the Beis HaLevi, that the Beis HaLevi was opposed to the Radzina Rebbe's trelas. Radzina Rebbe lived in Radzina in Poland, and he felt that we have to demonstrate that we're interested in preparing for the Beis HaMikdash, and then the Rabbeinu Shlomo will help us. So we have to take the first step forward. So he said, for Big Dekuni, you have to have trelis. With tzitzis, you have to have trelis. But he wanted to prepare for the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. So he specially traveled to Italy. He heard there was a gigantic aquarium there. And he looked into it, and he ascertained what he thought was the correct sea animal that fits the bill that's considered the chilozin. And when he went back to Radzin, so they built a factory. And before the war, before the Nazis killed everybody out, so there were tens of thousands of Jews, mostly Hasidim, and not all Radzina Hasidim, who were wearing trelis and tzitzis. And what motivated him was that he felt that we have to demonstrate to Rabbeinu Shlomo that we want to move forward. We want to prepare for the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Beis HaLevi was opposed to the Radzina trelis. But the two totally different versions, two contradictory versions as to why he was opposed to the Soloveitchik family, both those in Eretz Yisrael and those in America, their version was that the Beis HaLevi said, once you have lost the tradition of Masor, you can't reconstruct the Masor based on archaeology or based on dictionaries. Let's say Rav Soloveitchik, the Rav used to say it with respect to Oiriz V'doichen. The Gemara has a machlok with Rav Yechon Menuhin and HaChachamim, where the Oriz V'Dochen is chay is from the Chameshis Minei Dogan Anat. So Rabbi Yechon Menuhin holds Oriz V'Dochen is Bole De Chimutz, and it's Hamoitzi. And we don't paskin like that. But we paskin that Oriz, not Dochen, Oriz is Bore Minei Mizoynes, and the beginning is Bore Nefoshes at the end. So what is Oriz? Everybody knows. I live in Washington Heights. You walk outside, you ask any of your neighbors here, all the Puerto Ricans, they tell you Oriz is rice. If you live in Eretz Yisrael, you have all of your Arab neighbors. So you ask any Arab. Arabs tell you, arroz is rice. Everybody knows that. So the Soloveitchik family says, no, our tradition has been lost. We don't know which Tosfos says. We don't know which is arroz, which is doichen. Whether arroz is rice or doichen is rice. And you can't reconstruct the Masorah based on a lexicon. That's his lashon. You can't reconstruct the Masorah based on a dictionary. So it's a sfeika d'dina. Whether Oriz is rice or Dochen is rice, so therefore you should say Ho'adoma on rice. You shouldn't say Bore Minim Zaynus on rice, because we're not sure whether Oriz is rice or not. So this is problematic. I remember when the Rav would say in the yeshiva, the Talmidim used to tzitta, we used to shiver. So we never asked him any kashim, we never argued with him. When he gave the shiur to the Balabatim in Maria, in the Beis HaKnesset in Maria, he used to give a shiur every Tuesday night for the Balabatim. So they asked him a lot of kashas. They didn't sit there like we did. So they asked him, from one Tana says he was in Rome and he saw the tzitz. There was a machlokes Tanaim. How is it supposed to be written Kodesh LaHashem on the tzitz? Is it in one line or is it in two lines? Kodesh Le, and then above that you continue Yudke Vavke. So that's what the Rambam passing like that Kodesh Le, and you go up a line and you write Yudke Vavke. And the other Tana says, what are you talking about? I was in Rome. I entered the Vatican collection of things in the Beis HaMikdash. He says he saw the parochas and it had droplets of blood on it. And he says he saw the tzitzins and he said, it's all in one line. So it's a pella. The Kes Mishneh asked a pella. How can the Rama paskin against the archaeological evidence? But the Tana brings that archaeological evidence. They see that you can. Or the Gemara tells a story in Amoiches HaSfina, the Rabbi Bar Bachana, the wild Agadatas, but Rabbi Bar Bachana, he went traveling with a tour guide, Hahutaya. He had an Arab. Hataya is usually assumed to be an Arab. Had an Arab took him on a tour, and he showed him the Meisei Midbar. And he showed him Har Sinai. He showed him all the interesting things. And he showed him Beluei Koirach. He showed him all the things. So they, when he came back to the Beis Medrash after the tour was over and he told the people that he took a tour and he saw the Meisei Midbar, so they asked him, did you check the tzitzis to see? Because the tzitzis is a machlekes bishame bishilo, whether you take three long strings and you fold them over to make six short strings, or you take four long strings and make them fold them over to make eight. So that's one of the six cases that we pass on like Beshama. You take four, you fold it over to make eight. So they asked Rabbi Baba Hana, did you check? You saw the Mesa Midbar. Did you check to see the tzitzis? Is it like Bishil? Is it like Beshama? So he said, it didn't occur to me to look. So they said, what an idiot. Rabbi Baba Hana is a fool. He should have checked to see. So you see from the Gemara that if you have a Sofek in Halacha, and you have archaeological evidence, so it is good evidence. Same over here. This is the Rishonim bring this raya, that they sent a letter, that they found the Tfilin de Rashi in Kevi Yecheskel HaNavi. So what's the problem? So you see that you can be pushed to Machlokes Rashi and Rabbi Natan based on archaeological evidence. So that's not my problem. There's a totally different version of what the Beis HaLevi said. We know the Beis HaLevi was opposed to the Radzina Rebbe's Trelus, but the Radzina Rebbe put out three different svarim, three separate svarim about Trelos. So now they print all three together. It's called Shloshe Sifri HaTrelos. So one of the svarim has all of the reactions of his contemporaries. So they have he has a letter there. Radzina Rebbe printed a letter from someone who was close, a Talmud Chacham, who was close to the Beis HaLevi. He doesn't give you his name, but he says over the taina of the Beis HaLevi. So it's totally contradictory to what the Soloveitchik family says. He says, how can you tell me that it's the squidfish that spits out this black stuff? My father, my grandfather, they all knew about the squidfish. They knew about that fish, and they didn't use that for trailers. So the fact that they were aware of that fish and they didn't use it is like we have a masorah that's not the chilozen. If you come, give me a different fish, something other than the squid fish, and you give me a historical explanation why the trelis became lost in the days of the Goyim, I'll be the first one to go along with you. So the way the friend of the Beis HaLevi sent a letter to the Radzina Rebbe that's printed in the Shloshe Sifri HaTrelis, it totally contradicts Legamre, the version that the Soloveitchik family said. In fact, one of the big Talmid Chachamim of our generation spent time with Rabbi Yashiv in Eretz Yisrael. So when he came back, he spent a year there. So when he came back to America, he corresponded with him. So he asked him, which of the two versions of the Beis HaLevi's response does he think is more correct? So he wrote him back. He thinks that the Soloveitchik family's version does make any sense. Why can't you reconstruct a Masaira? If it was lost, why can't you reconstruct based on archaeology? Unless there's a way to ding up with the archaeology. Okay. Let's say they found mikvahs that don't correspond to the size of the Chazanish. According to the Chazanish, the mikvah should have been much bigger. So you don't know what those mikvahs used by the Chachamim. Maybe they were used by the Tzedukim. Maybe they were used by others who didn't follow Piskei Halacha of the Torah Shabbat Peh. You don't know. But over here, that's the question. But the Rabbi Yashiv thought that you can reconstruct the Masorah based on archaeology. Anyway, so that's the shot. Yeah, that's the question. What do you do with that raya? That you see that they used to wear tefillin de Rashi. So some argue, you look in the tour, the Bach and the Prisha, they quote, maybe they were Pasol, maybe that's the way, maybe that's because they were Pasol, that's the way they were going as them. Others on the page there in the tour, in the Vesyos, others disagree. They say, what do you mean Pasol? If it's Pasol because it's out of order, so take the Parshas out and rearrange them and they'll become Kasha. It's not Pasol Le'olam Vo'ed, it's Pasol the way it is. So take the Parshas out and rearrange them, they'll be Kasha. Yeah, the whole thing is a pella. The whole thing is not to be understood. How can you have a mitzvah that's noig every single day, except for Shabbos and Yom Tov, we don't like tefillin? How can you have a machloikis, Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam, what's the correct seder ha-parshios? And all the way back to the days of the Goyim, they had two kinds. They had the Rav Chai Goyim and many others. Rav Yosef Tuvelim was before the Rabbeinu Tam. He had the tefillin, the Rabbeinu Tam. And others had tefillin, the Rashi. How can you have a machloikis? Very strange, like by Shofar. The Gemara in the end of Rosh Hashanah presents a machlokes hatanaim. You have to blow, we usually say you have to blow tkiya, trua tkiya, three times min hatorim. In the Rabbanon, we blow much more, and we have a minig that from the Oruch Tosis in the end of Rosh Hashanah quotes the Oruch that we blow mea koilas. But Medina the Gemara, you don't have to blow so much. So min hatorim, the Gemara says you have to blow tkiya, trua tkiya, three times. Fine. So what is the definition of trua? So that the Gemara said, that's a machlokes hatanaim, where the trua is what we call trua, a trua is what we call shvarim, a trua is what we call shvarim trua. So that's why Rabbi Bo, who lived in the city Kisrin, asking Rabbi Bo be Kisrin, he should blow all three possibilities. Tkiya trua, tkiya three times, tkiya shvarim, tkiya three times, tkiya shvarim trua, tkiya times. To satisfy all the three opinions. So the Rishonim ask, how could there be a machlokes hatanaim? Every year you blow shofar. But everybody forgot what's the correct form of tkiya shofar. Here it's a bigger pella. Every day you wear tefillin. There it's once a year, So maybe they forgot, but they feel that that's also a pella. So there by shofar, that's famous, the Rav Chai Goyim is of the opinion that all three are acceptable. Shvarim is good, and trua is good, and shvarim trua, everything is good. So why do Rabbi Bo have to make a takana? You should blow all the three logical possibilities. So he says, not because of a sveka adina, which is the correct way. No, you'd say any one of the three, any form of a trua is acceptable. He felt, though, that the balabatim would be mevaza each other, the balabatim, and each community will feel that we're the only ones that yotze the mitzvah, and yosh kehillah, they blew shvarim. And that's not correct. They should have blown trua. They should have blown shvarim trua. So they didn't want people to be mevaza each other, so they standardized it. Everybody should blow everything, so everybody knows everybody was yotze. They shouldn't be able to pick on each other. That's how they quote the Rav Chai Goyim held like that. The Ramban doesn't think that that fits into the Gemara. The Gemara says, sof kol sof, it's a machlokes hatanaim. According to Rav Chai Goyim, it's not a machlokes hatanaim. Any one of the three forms would be acceptable. So the Ramban in the end of Rosh Hashanah has there in the Mechamis an interesting insight that on a Tainus Tzibur, the Mishnayos have in the second parak in Maseches Tainus, the Chazan, when he repeats the Chazaras HaShatz for Mincha, he adds six additional brachas. We add one bracha, Begoyle Roife Anenu. So in the days of the Tanoim, when we had Tainus Gishamim, because of a lack of rain, so they would add six brachas. They would add in the bracha Gol Yisrael, in Gula, they would add, and then an additional six brachas in addition. So instead of having Shemona Esrei 18 brachas, they had Amidah had 24 brachas. The regular 18 plus 6 was 24. So at the end of each one of the six additional brachas, they would blow tkiya shvarim. They would blow tkiya trua tkiya. They would blow tkiya trua tkiya. So the Ramban writes, the purpose of blowing shofar at the conclusion of the six additional brachas is to elevate the level of the bakosha. It's a tefillah. It's a tefillah based sora because there's atziras gishamim. So it's to elevate the level of the tefillah should be like a tefillah be'es tzor. The Ramban holds that tefillah b'chol yoyim is only with the Rabbanon. It's only the Raisa tefillah be'es tzora, tzora satzibur. So atziras gushamim is quite a problem because in the days of the Gemara, they didn't know how to desalinate water. Today, there's no more problem. It's just it'll cost a little money. It'll be expensive. You take water from the Mediterranean and you remove the salt, and then you'll be able to drink it. The animals can drink it, and everything will grow. You can water. Days of the Tanaim, they didn't know how to desalinate until recently. They didn't know how to desalinate water, so it was mamish suffix akonis and fashas. So there would be geyser tainus. About 15 years ago or so, some of the younger rabbanim and the rabbanut and Eretz Yisrael were considering being geyser tainus. And some of the old timers. The old timers were laughing at them and making fun and said, "What are you talking about? Now that we know how to desalinate water, you're not geyser tainus anymore. It's just a question of spending money. It's not a question of sakonis nefoshes anymore." So the purpose of Tkiyah Shofar at the end of the six additional brachas in the Chazaras Hashatz and the Tainus Sibur is to elevate the level of the tefillah that the Chazan is adding and the six additional brachas that should be considered like a za'oka, a tefillah be'es tzora. So that we do on Rosh Hashanah also. The concluding paragraph of Malchias and Zechronis and Amshayfris is Bakoshus Tzarochim. The first three brachas of the Shemana Esra are always Shevach. The last three brachas are Haidoya. And then the middle is supposed to be Bakoshus Tzarochim. So even on Shabbos and Yom Tov is also, you have Bakoshus Tzarochim. The concluding paragraph, Elokeinu, Elokeinu Veseinu, Seibim Nuchosenu, Kadoshenim Mitzvoseichem, Vesein Chalkeinu Mitzvoseichem, that's all Bakoshus Tzarochim. Instead of Gashmi Zdika Tzorachim that we speak about all week long, Refu and Gula and Yeshua and Parnasa and other things, V'lam Alshinim, everything else, on Shabbos and Yom, to be talking about Ruchni Zdika Tzorachim. But still, the Abakosha Tzorachim. So at the end of Malchias, at the end of Zechonis, at the end of Shefis also, the concluding paragraph has the Bakosha Tzorachim. Malachayim, 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 Malachal Kol Olam Kula Bichvei Decho. That's a Tzorach Ruchni. And Zechronis, Elokeinu Veseinu, Zechronim Zikaron Tavla Manacha, and Shurfis, Kainu Gam Veseinu, Tka B'Shefer God Lechei Veseinu. It's also Ruchni is Dika Tzorochim. So to elevate the level of that Bakosha Tzorochim to the level of a Zoka, so we blow Shofar. So the Ramban holds a half like the Rav Haigoin. He holds not that on Rosh Hashanah you yotze any three forms, either Shvarim or Trua or Shvarim Trua. No. It's a machloikas hatanoim, which is the correct way. So where did the mistake come from? How could it be a machloikas hatanoim and the thing that you do every year? So he says, no, on a tainis tzibur, when you blow shofar at the conclusion of the six additional brachas in the Chazaras Hashatz, you blow tkiyah, trua tkiyah, there everyone agrees, like Rav Haigon, everyone agrees any form of trua is acceptable, either shvarim or trua or shvarim trua. But that idea of blowing shofar at the conclusion of the brachas on Rosh Hashanah, like on a tainis sibur, that's the Ramban's hashvoa, so that's only b'tzibur, the Gemara says. If a person is davening b'yichidus on Rosh Hashanah, even though he's a bal tekeir, even if he has a bal tekeir there, you don't blow shofar in the middle of tefillah b'yochid. If everybody's davening in shul tefillah b'tzibur, they're davening tefillah b'lachash, tefillah b'tzibur. So that's a different opinions. That by the chassidim, by the svardim, they do blow and tefillah b'lachash also because they're davening b'tzibur. But if a person is davening shalom b'tzibur, the gemara should be fair. You don't have tkiyah shofar al seder habrachas. So the tkiyah al seder habrachas, the Ramban thinks that the Rav Haigoin is correct. Any form is acceptable. What if a person is davening b'yachidus? And he's not blowing shofar, but it's to enhance the brachas, to elevate the level of the bakosha to the level of za'oka, tefillah b'yestar. He's davening b'yechidus, and he's blowing shofar b'yechidus. So what is the tkiya trua? What trua do you need there? So that, he said, that was a machloikas satanam. So where did the machloikas come from? He says, because on every Rosh Hashanah, they used to blow shofar al seder habrachas at the end of Malchus, at the end of Zechonis, at the end of shofar, similar to the tkiyas I'll say the brachas and the Chazaras Hashatz and the Tainis Tibur. So there, any form is acceptable. So on Rosh Hashanah, that was the Machlokes HaTanaim. What about the Tkiyas B'Toras Rosh Hashanah? Not B'Toras Tkiyah, I'll say the brachas. Does that have to be Dafke one form or any form or any form is acceptable? So that was the Machlokes HaTanaim. So that's the Shaila over here. Where did this Machlokes come from? By Tfilin. You wear tefillin every day of the year. How could there be a machlekes harishainim going back to the days of the goyim? What is the correct seder of the parshas and the tefillin? So in the Torah Shlema, on the volume on Parshas Boy, where you have the dinim of Kadesh Vayokir Yacho, they have in the back of the volume, they have a whole essay where of Mendel Kasha makes a suggestion. Maybe this whole din that the Seder HaParshis is Ma'akeh, maybe it's only Midirabbonim. Maybe this din was invented in the days of the Tanoim. Maybe before the days of the Tanoim, any Seder was good. As long as you had all the Dalet Parshis there, it would be good. This is a general issue, a general problem. What do you do when the Gemara has a din? And the Gemara, it's not clear whether it's a din derais or a din derabbonim. So if you learn the Mishnah Brura, Chelek Aleph, the different volumes of the Mishnah Brura written by different members, there was a whole team, a whole group of members of the Chafetz Chaim's family working on the Mishnah Brura. So Chelek Aleph is not as strong as the other Chalokim. The other Chalokim, you have even the exact same din is discussed in Chelek Beis and Chelek Aleph. Chelek Beis is much stronger. You have Bir Aloche, where he Keter Beveltni, he turns over all the dinim. Kemat on every other page, he reverses the Psak HaMakubal and the other volumes of the Mishnah Brura. So in Chelek Aleph, he often quotes from the Prima Godim. So the Prima Godim has this attitude. Unless the Gemara has a Pasuk, unless it's Beferish in the Gemara, that is the Raisa, we assume it's only the Rabban. Rav Soloveitchik always assumed the reverse. And whenever the Gemara has a din, he always assumed that it's a din derais, unless it's a beferish araya, that it's only a din mederabban. A lot of times he would work his head off. The Rav would work his head off to try to figure out how the din makes sense. So the Chazon Ish writes, it's only a din derabban. You don't have to break your head so much. And Rav Soloveitchik would break his head. He assumed whenever you have a stam din in the Gemara, it's a din derais, unless it's clear that it's derabban. This is what Rav Mendel Kasha suggests. Maybe the whole need for the Seder HaParshis and the Tefillin is only by the Rabbanan. So that's when the earlier generations had all kinds of Siddurim and the Tefillin. You can find everything in the Kever Yecheskel HaNavi. If you look early enough, you'll find all kinds of Siddurim. So maybe the Seder was introduced in the days of the Tanaim. So that's why Tzarich to have a Machlokes. The Aruch HaShulchan has a different suggestion, a very Kabbalistic idea. This idea of Havayis Lahadodi from the Rav Haigoin, what the Rabbi Natan quoted from Rav Haigoin. So Havayis Lahadodi in the language of Rav Haigoin just means the two parshas from the Chumash that begin with the word Bahaya, Bahaya ki diyach Bahayaim Shamaya. But we usually use the term Havaya referring to the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei. Is there any connection between this Havaya and that Havaya? So that's what the Aruch HaShulchan thinks. That he quotes a Gemara in Psochem, I think on Daf Nun, but the Gemara says, "Lo ko'el ma'zeh ho'el ma'bo." That bo'el ma'zeh Hakadosh Baruch Hu in Nichtov. When you write Shem Hashem in the Tanakh, you write Yud Kei Vav Kei. When you pronounce it outside of the Beis Hamikdash, you don't pronounce it Kirchsovei. You pronounce it Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. And lo'el ma'bo ba'hay Hashem Echad u'shma Echad. L'mois Hamashiach, after Mashiach will come, we will all pronounce the Shem Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei. The whole world will be like a Beis Hamikdash, and you pronounce the Yud Kei Vav Kei correctly. So the Aruch HaShulchan somehow understood that the Rabbi Natam Shita began because the Rabbi Natam, the Zohar says that you need tefillin the Rabbi Natam Havayis Be'emtza Havayis HaHadadi, because L'mois Hamashiach it's going to be like that. But Olam Hazeh the din is like Rashi. L'mois Hamashiach, the din is going to be like the Rabbi Natam. And the Rabbi Natam felt that it's already in Aschalt the Gula, so it's time for the din of the Zohar. Rabbi Natam doesn't say boo about the Zohar. He doesn't quote any Zohar. But this is what the Psafani Aruch HaShulchan, he says the Rabbi Natam felt that it's time, it's already Aschalt the Gula, so it's time that we should start following the other Seder. Yeah. The Beis Yosef quotes in this Siman Lamed Dalet in Arachan, the Beis Yosef quotes a big machlekes among the Rishonim. This Rabbi Natam Shita is based on this Gemara regarding Tefillin Shel Rosh. What about in Tefillin Shel Yad? There's no discussion in the Gemara. So a minority of the Smak and a small group of Rishonim quote the Rabbi Natam. In Tefillin Shel Yad, he agrees with Rashi. That the Seder is Kadesh v'yakiryach Shema v'yayim Shemaya. It's all on one cloth. Only in the Shel Rosh, he argues with Rashi. And most of the Rishonim say not so. That according to Rabbi Natam, the Seder of the Dalet Parshas, even in the Tefillin Shel Yad, when it's on one cloth, is also Kadesh v'yakiryach v'yayim Shemaya. and Shema. Yeah, this is relevant halacha lemaisa because the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rosh and a few other Rishonim recommend, since it's a sveika d'dina shaila, how are you yotzei in the mitzvah of tefillin? So the Rosh and other Rishonim, the later Baalei HaTos recommend we should really be machmer for both opinions. What do you mean machmer for both opinions? You should put on two shal yads and two shal roshes. What do you mean two shal yads, two shal roshes? The Gemara said that's a violation. The Gemara in the last parak in Erevin is called Parak HaMoitzei Tefillin. So the Gemara has a lot of dinim of tefillin. Not all the hilchas tefillin appear here in Hakoymetz Rabbah in the middle of Menachos. Some of the dinim appear in the last parak in Erevin. So one of the dinim the Gemara has there in the last parak in Erevin is if you have two shal yads at the same time, two shal roshes at the same time, that's a violation of Baal Tosif. Because you're only supposed to be one shal yad and one shal rosh. That's a question in Tosfos and a question in two different mesichtos. Tosfos in two different mesichtos and a machlokes in Achrayim and Shulchan Aruch, whether that Baal Tosif is a deraisa derabbanan. Because ha'iluchu dekoy ba'iluchu dekoy, the two shal yads are not connected with each other. If you're going to stuff another parshas lech lecho into the tefillin, that can be a Baal Tosif deraisa. But if it's ha'iluchu dekoy ba'iluchu dekoy, two separate shal yads, so maybe that's only Baal Tosif min derabbana. So that's a machlokes harishon. Soloveitchik used to say that his father thought, or Moshe Soloveitchik thought, that more correct is that it's Baal Tosif deraisa, even ha'iluchu dekoy ba'iluchu dekoy, even though they're not connected. The Gemara has that svar, ha'iluchu dekoy, that you don't say kol ha'moisiv gareya. If a person would add parshas lech lecha into the bayis shal yada, to the bayis shal rosh, that would pasul the whole tefillin. The whole thing would be pasul. But if you add something, ha'iluchu dekoy, ha'iluchu dekoy, separate, so you violate Baal Tosif deraisa, but you don't say kol ha'moisiv gareya. You don't say that it pasuls the whole mitzvah. Well, whatever it is, the Gemara says that there's a violation of Baal Tosif if you're going to wear two shal yads. So how can the Shulchan Aruch recommend, how can the Rosh and the Rishonim say recommend you should wear two shal yads and two shal roshes at the same time, one like Rashi, one like the Rabbeinu Tam? So the answer, no, because one for sure is pasul. Only one is kosher, one is pasul. So since it's mimonim shal, one is kosher, one is pasul, so then you're not in violation of Baal Tosif. Yeah, that's only good if you hold not like Rabbi Mendel Kasha. If you hold like Rabbi Mendel Kasha said, on the level of the Raisa, there is no Seder of the Parshios. So then you have two kosher pairs of tefillin on the level of the Raisa. So then it should be that it should be a violation of Baal Tosif. So the Shulchan Aruch doesn't seem to be assuming like Rabbi Kasha's. It was an interesting suggestion to say that the need for the Seder of Parshas is only with the Rabbanan. But the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rishonim, they didn't seem to have understood like that. They seem told that the Seder HaParshas is Makam and Atur. So that's what they say. There's no Baal Tosif because Mimon of Shach, one is kosher and one is pos. That's a question. Let's say you have to put a mezuzah on the right side going into the room. So sometimes you have a house, you can go this way, you can go that way. So which way? So there are a lot of rules. There are five different rules. How do you determine which side you put the mezuzah on the right side going which way? So sometimes you have... Sometimes you use up all the rules and you still don't know which side you're supposed to put the mezuzah. So some people will put two mezuzahs. Some people will put, Rav Moshe holds you're not mechayev to put a mezuzah at all. Whenever you use up all the rules and you still can't figure out, they hold you're not chayev a mezuzah. Big chiddush. The pashtus is like the Achronim say, you can put on either side. You've used up all the rules, so you can put either this side or that side. And there's a third opinion, that you should put on both on the right and on the left. So then the question is, well, are you not in violation of Baal Tosif? You're putting up two mezuzahs? It should be like wearing two shal yads and two shal roshes at the same time. So that's what some say no, because since you're only supposed to have the mezuzah on the right side, it's a sveika d'dina, where it's supposed to be, which way is the right side, this side or that side, going this way or that way, are you going in or going out? So miman of shal, one is kosher, one is pasul, so there won't be any Baal Tosif dai grosnas. Used to be a dayan in London, so he has a tshuva about that in his sefer. Is that cheshbon correct? That if you have a sveika d'dina, which side to put the mezuzah, and you put two mezuzahs on the two sides, that there wouldn't be any violation of Baal Tosif, because manam shach, one is good, one is not good. So that's a question. In the Shulchan Aruch, when they quote this recommendation, the end of Sim Lamed Aleph, so it says, but to do this, to wear two shal yads and two shal roshes, to satisfy both Rashi and Rabbi Menachem Tam, this is only for one who's muchzak b'chassidus. I remember when we learned Hilchas Tefillin in class by Rav Soloveitchik, he used to give shiur man arachayim. So he said, It means to wear two shal yads at the same time. That's only if you're muchzik b'chassidus. It's obvious to the public that you're wearing your machmeh for the rabbein atam. But if you daven in shul with tefillin derashi, then you go home and you wear tefillin derabbein atam. No one's going to see what you're doing. So he thought from the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch, even if you're not muchzik b'chassidus, you should be obligated to put on tefillin derabbein atam when you go home. I don't know. Did he really put on tefillin derabbein atam at home? I never heard. I wasn't there. I don't think so, but I don't know. This is what he said, the simple reading of the Rabbi Natam. The simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch sounds like that. Only one is Muchzik b'chassidus, should wear both the tefillin derashi and Rabbi Natam at the same time. Here the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rishonim that even according to the Rabbi Natam, who holds that the Seder HaParsha should be Havayis b'yemtza, Kadesh v'yokin yachav, v'yoyim shamoy hashma, but the Mechilta has a din. This din never appears in the Gemara. The Mechilta has a din that you have to write tefillin and mezuzah have to be written kisidron. Let's say Kadesh, you have to write first kuf and then dalet and then shin. In a Sefer Torah, even if you, let's say a letter got rubbed out over years, so you can correct the Sefer Torah. You can fill in a missing, let's say they wrote a whole Sefer Torah, they realized they left out a word or they left out a letter. So you can fill in the letter later. There's no need for a Sefer Torah to be written kisidron. But tefillin and mezuzah, so then it has to be written kisidron. So whenever you find a mistake in tefillin or mezuzah, you can't just correct that letter. You have to erase from that point to the end. And sometimes it doesn't pay. You have to erase so much. May as well buy a new shalyat. May as well buy a whole new parsha. Everything has to be written kisidron. So the Rabbi Natam holds that the Seder, let's say in the shalyat, Seder is Shema v'Kadesh v'Yakiviyacha. But Shema precedes. Shema is in V'eschanan. V'yoyim Shemoya is in Ekev. So you have to write the first parsha, the second parsha, skip a big blank space, write the fourth parsha first, Shema, and then go back and write the third parsha. That's what they say the Rabbi Natam Shita is. Yeah. Because of this mechilta, that you need ksiva kisidron, everything has to be written in the same order that it appears in the Chumash. So true, the way the four parshas are going to be laid out in the Tefillin Shel Yad on one klaf, you're going to have Im Shemaya printed before Shema, but you have to write Shema first and then go back and write Im Shemaya. Yeah, would the Rabbi Natam say this on the Tefillin Shel Rosh also? Tefillin Shel Rosh, each parsha is on a different klaf, on a different piece of parchment. So what? There's a Seder. You have to write the klaf that's going to have Shema. It's going to be put all the way in this, all the way on this side by me. Kadesh v'yakiviyacha Shema v'hayoyim Shema. So the klaf that's going to be put into the fourth box has to be written before the klaf that's put into the third box, into the third section. But it's a different klaf. Is there a din of ksiva kisidron? So that's a further machlokes within the Rabbi Natam. Does it make sense to require ksiva kisidron if the parshas of Shema v'yam Shema are written on a different klaf? Maybe it only makes sense by the shalyad that everything is written together. Yeah, even those who are machma like the Rabbi Natam, that you have the havayis b'yamtza, it's not 100% like the Rabbi Natam's own shita, because there is a machlokes Rashi in the Rabbi Natam also in the same menachas regarding Sefer Torah, tefillin and mezuzah. You have to put the Sefer Torah in the Aron Kodesh in a respectable fashion. Let's have put the Sefer Torah upside down. So that's a bizayon. So the Sefer Torah have to be placed in the Aron Kodesh in a respectful fashion. So which is respectful? So our Sefer Torah are standing erect. That's considered b'kavod. The Rabbi Natam holds not so. Rabbi Natam learns pshat in the Gemara. The Sefer Torah will be exhausted. They're standing all the time. Wouldn't it be more b'kavodik that they should be relaxing? Have all the Sefer Torah sideways. We have all the Svarim. I have a bookcase. I'm in my study. I have a lot of Svarim. All the Svarim are standing up erect. According to Rabbi Natam, more b'kavodik is that the Svarim should be shofos, not omdos. So the Rabbi Natam Shita is by the Aron Kodesh. The Rabbi Natam's Aron Kodesh had the Sefer Torah flat instead of standing up. And same thing in mezuzahs, machlokes Rashi and Rabbi Natam. Rashi holds the mezuzah has to be standing up omedes, and Rabbi Natam holds the mezuzah should be shochebes, it should be in a reclining position. The Braisa and the Gemara, the two ways how to read the Braisa, which is the correct way, Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, which is the correct way should be mezuzah, should be amenas or shacheves. But the Gemara says if it's balachs and if it's on a tilt, then everyone agrees that it's good. So the Bali Atos is right, and the Shita Mekubetz is there on the side of the Gemara Menachos, that the minig developed that we put all the mezuzahs balachsan to satisfy both Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam Shita. If you have balachsan, for sure it's good. But they quote that the Vilna Gaon didn't want to satisfy the Rabbeinu Tam. He said, we don't pass like the Rabbeinu Tam, we pass like Rashi. The Sifrei Torah and the Aron Kodesh are omdim, they're standing erect. The Sfarim and the bookcase are standing up, they're not in a reclining position. The Parshas and the Tefillin are omdos, according to Rabbeinu Tam. All the Parshas should be shochvos. Even the Tefillin, the Rabbeinu Tam. We don't follow the Rabbeinu Tam Shita to have the Parshas shochvos. The Parshas and Tefillin, the Rabbeinu Tam are omdos. The only thing we follow, those who wear, I don't wear Tefillin, the Rabbeinu Tam. Those who wear Tefillin, the Rabbeinu Tam, they only follow the Rabbeinu Tam as far as the Seder have Parshas. They switch around Shema Ba'ayim Shemaya in order to have Havayas B'yemtza, Havayas Ha'adodi. But they don't have the Parshias Shochvos. So we don't really fully follow, even those who follow the Rabbeinu Tam, they don't really follow the Rabbeinu Tam. The Gemara speaks about the Bayah Shel Rosh has a shin. Shin Shel Tefillin, Halacha L'Moshim Sin. The Gemara doesn't say that there are two shins. When the Gemara sounds only one shin. And the Gemara assumes that a Bayah Shel Rosh has more Kedusha than a Bayah Shel Yad. Why does it have more Kedusha? So the Rambam explains, it's based on the Gemara Megillah. The Gemara Megillah says, all Judaic items are divided into two categories. Some of them are Tashmish and Mitzvah, and some are Tashmish and Kedusha. So a Shofar, and an Esrig, and a Lulav, and a Sukkah, and a Talis is Tashmish and Mitzvah. So the Huktzah and the Mitzvah, and Bizmana Mitzvah. After Sukkah is over, you can eat the Esrig. And you can use the hadasim for on sukkahs. He can smell a hadasim. It's hooked in the mitzvah. After sukkahs is over, many people use the hadasim for havdalah. They say bar minim psamim. Let's say I have an old talis. My wife buys me a new talis. What do I do with the old talis? I donate it to the shul. The gabbai says he doesn't want my old talis. It looks awful. It's old and gray and worn out. He doesn't want it. So I'll give it to a poor man who lives down the block. Poor man doesn't want it either because it's old and yellow. He doesn't want it. So what do I do with the old talis? Nobody wants it. So the Gemara says you throw it out in the garbage because it's only Tashmish and Mitzvah. So Tashmish and Mitzvah have hooks in the Mitzvahs and Bizman HaMitzvah. And after the Bizman HaMitzvah is up, then it's no longer hooked in the Mitzvahs. It just says in Shulchan Aruch, you shouldn't throw it in the old talis when you throw it out. You shouldn't throw it in the garbage together with the dirty diapers or together with the chicken bones. You should put it in a separate bag and then throw it in the garbage. But Tashmishe Kedusha are nignozim. Even after, let's say, have a tefillin, a mezuzah, that's puzzle, so and it can't be corrected, so you're not allowed to throw it out. You have to bury it. You have to put it in Shemus and you have to bury it. Even if it does not have Shem in it, let's say you have a tefillin zekel. So the tefillin zekel, old, worn out, and it's torn up. So you have to, it does not have Shem Hashem at all. Still, it's Tashmishi Kedusha. The tefillin is Gufi Kedusha, and the zekel is Tashmishi Kedusha. So the Tashmishi Kedusha are also Nignozim. So the Rambam writes, Rab Chaim Volozhin explains this. How do you determine whether any given item is a Tashmishi Mitzvah, Tashmishi Kedusha? If you have Dibre Torah written, so say the Torah, tefillin, and mezuzah, you have psukim from Tanakh, from Chumash written there. So then the Rambam writes, to the extent that you have psukim written, to that extent that it has Kedusha. So the Rambam explains that tefillin have more Kedusha than mezuzah, because mezuzah only has Shema Ba'ayam Shema, and tefillin has Kadesh Ve'yakev Yacha. Shema Ba'ayam Shema has two more parshios. Sefer Torah has more Kedusha than tefillin, because tefillin only has four parshios, and the Sefer Torah has those four plus more. The Rambam, Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, the Rambam sounds like he says in the end of Hilchas Sefer Torah that if we would find the original author's copy of the Aseres HaDibros, the Luchas HaBris, Amichta Michtav Elokim Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu engraved, Moshe Rabbeinu was Psalachos Shnei Luchas, Moshe Rabbeinu prepared the Luchas, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu engraved them. So if we will find, there used to be Indiana Jones. He claimed he knows where the Luchas are, and he got permission from the Mukubalim to reveal, but he never told us where the Luchas are. I don't know. I haven't read about him in the paper. He's probably not alive anymore. He used to threaten every year. He would say before Tisha B'Av, he's going to tell everybody where the Luchas are hidden. But he didn't tell us. So so the Rambam writes, if you find the original Luchas and you have a Sefer Torah that was written, Tov Shin Pei Aleph, which one has more Kedushin? So he says, the Sefer Torah has Aseres Hadibas plus more. So the Sefer Torah that's written by a boss of Adam, and Shnas Tov Shin Pei Aleph has more Kedushin than the Luchas. The Luchas are priceless. It's Michtav Lekimhu. Of course, it's priceless. You can't put a value on it. But as far as level of Kedusha is concerned, so it depends which has more psukim. So the Sefer Torah has all the psukim Aseres Hadibas plus more. So the Gemara says that a Shal Rosh has slightly more level Kedusha than Shal Yad. You're not allowed to convert the Shal Rosh into a Shal Yad because Malam HaKodesh V'lo Marin. The reverse you are allowed to do, to convert a Shal Yad into a Shal Rosh, that's Malam HaKodesh. But to convert a Shal Rosh into a Shal Yad is a violation of Maridin. Why? Because the Shal Rosh has one letter more, has a Shin. Shal Yad doesn't have the Shin, only has Dalet Parshis. Shal Rosh has a Shin. So it has slightly more level, a higher level of Kedusha in the Shal Rosh. So so in the Gemara, it would appear that the Shal Rosh has one Shin on the bias on the outside. And the Zohar says you have two Shins. And then you have a shin of Dalet Roshin and a shin of Gimel Roshin. What is that all about? A shin with four heads and a shin with three heads. So Rabbi Kevegir on Shulchan Aruch on the Aruch Haim points out, based on the Zohar, it would appear that there are two correct ways to write a shin in Ksav Ashuris, either with Dalet Roshin or Gimel Roshin, with three heads or four heads. So let's say Bereshis Bor Elokim. When you write the word Bereshis, you need a shin. You have the option. You can write with four heads or with three heads. It's easier to write with three heads. It's going to take you longer if you're going to write with four heads. So, strictly speaking, the two acceptable forms of the letter shin. And others are of the opinion, no, there's only a shin of Gimel Roshin. There's no such thing as a shin of Dalet Roshin. We always have on this side, on the left side where we have Kadesh, you have the shin of Dalet Roshin. So they say, no, the middle two heads of the shin on the left side is next to Kadesh. So Kadesh Vayakev Yacha was Koidem Matan Torah. Shema, that's in Parshas Boy. Matan Torah is in Yisrael. And Shema Vayam Shemaya on this side is Lacha Matan Torah. So the Ksav, Koidem Matan Torah, should be like the Ksav of the Luchas that was engraved, that was Shakua. So if you have the middle two heads of the shin, don't touch the bottom, then if you have Dalet Roshin on top, it's really Gimel Roshin Shakua. If you look at your tefillin, all the tefillin that I've seen always have the two middle Roshin of the shin are touching the bottom. But there were others who had the practice, that's explained in Shulchan Aruch, that the middle two Roshin of the shin, they're not touch the bottom of the shin. So if you have Dalet Roshin on top, the middle two don't touch the bottom. What you have is a shin of Gimel Roshin, Shakua. So the two parshas, Kadesh, Yakiviyachu, which is on my left, I'm wearing the tefillin. The two of Koidem Matan Torah, so you have the Ksav of the Luchas there. The Shin of Koidem Matan Torah is a Ksav Shakua. And the two Shema V'Yam Shema, Lacha Matan Torah, the Shema V'Yam Shema is in Chumash Dvarim, in Voschan and in Ekev. So that should have the Ksav of a Sefer Torah, that is a Ksav Bolek. So that you make a Gimel Roshan on that side. That's what some of the Mepharshim point out. Let me just close with this. The Taz has a lot of times original chidushim that are not accepted. The Shach died at a very young age, but somehow he had available to him all the svarim from the Svartish svarim. He had svarim that we don't even know what they are. So, but the Taz was a very poor man. He didn't have Kisviyat available, and he always comes up with Chidushim that a lot of times we don't accept. A lot of times when Rav Soloveitchik learned the Rechayim or Yeridei, he didn't read the Taz, only if there's a famous Taz. He would just go straight to the Magen Avraham and straight to the Shach, the Bir Agro. He wouldn't read the Taz. So the Taz writes a Chiddush. The Pashtus says that it's not correct. He says, based on the Rambam quotes a Mishnah in Brachas that a Koris Hashma l'mafrei lo yotza. If you read, let's say, Parsha Shema, Yom Shema, if you read the Psukim out of order, you're not yotza. So the Rambam says, Bamedvar Mamurim, if you read the words in the Pasuk out of order, if you read the Psukim out of order in the Parsha. But the Mishnah tells us that Midirabbanan, they made a takana, Lama Kodma Parsha Shema l'vayom Shemaya, Lama Kodma Parsha Shvayom Shema l'vayomer. So the Mishnah gives you the reason why they instituted that Midirabbanan, that Seder. When you recite Shema, you should say for Shema, then Vayom Shema, then Vayom. What if you said the three Parshias out of order? So the Rambam said, that's not called Korilam Afreya, you would be Yotze B'dievet. So the Taz says, just like, and the reason why the Rambam says is because in the Chumash, Shema, Vayom, Shema, Vayom, are not next to each other. They're three different places. So you can't say that HaKorilam Afreya is not Yotze. So the Taz writes a Chiddush, very difficult. Taz writes a Chiddush that if you have a mezuzah, you have to have Shema, Vayom, Shema, that's it. So if you put first Vayom, Shema, then Shema afterwards on the same klaf, that would be Kosher B'dievet, because they're not one next to the other in the Chumash. The Pashto said that is not correct. That's the tzura of the mezuzah. The mezuzah has to be in this order. First Shema, then Vayom Shema. It can't do out of order. I thought that was a very difficult task. Okay, see, these are some of the ideas. There's more of a discussion in Shulchan Aruch. These are some of the highlights of the ideas in this Machlokes Rashi and the Rabbein Tam regarding the Seder of the Parshias of the Shalrosh. And most of the Rishonim hold that the Rabbein Tam Sheet of Bashal Rosh carries over to Shal Yad also. Even though Bashal Yad, they're all on one klaf, also has to be in this funny order. Havai is next to each other. Enjoy the rest of the shiurim. I have to apologize. I can't listen to the next shiur. I'm scheduled to give my students a shiur at 12 o'clock. I'm giving a shiur on Hilchas Sefer Torah. The Mikre, I didn't even realize. I'm going to give a shiur on Hilchas Sefer Torah because it's final week, so I don't give regular shiur. Okay, how about Slocheh?